It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll find out why eating disorders have been on the rise during the pandemic. First, over the last two decades, the State of Working Wisconsin report has told the story of who's working, who's not, and what it's like to work in our state. The new report for 2021, out now, takes a look at job losses and gains, what the consequences of the loss of worker unions mean, the state of wages, and more, along with the impact of the pandemic on the working world. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What has your work experience been like in the last year, and what ways would you like to see Wisconsin jobs change? Do we need higher wages, more unions, more benefits? How has your job outlook changed over the last year and a half? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Laura Dresser is the Associate Director of COWS, a research center at UW-Madison that creates this annual report. She's a clinical assistant professor of social work and a labor economist. Laura, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, you do this report every year. The last couple of years, of course, not normal years. Laura, how has the pandemic changed the nature of this report and the working world that you're looking at?
I mean, I think last year, when the economy collapsed due to the shutdowns in April and lost more jobs than I'd ever seen an economy lose in a month, and work was fundamentally disrupted, we kind of changed. We moved to an online format. We talked to workers more. We thought that the wage data that was a year old might not feel very relevant. And I think we really felt like everything changed about work. So whether you were protected in your work and got to go home and do your work from home, or whether you were exposed in your work and working in entirely new ways with equipment to keep you safe, or whether you were losing your work. Last summer was, incredibly disruptive. I think this year we feel like we kind of moved out and some things are more normal. We've gone back to some of those wage trends this year, and those are up on the website. But we're really also talking about how work has changed, because I know that it doesn't feel, I think, to the extent that things felt normal in February 2020, we don't feel like we're there now.
Are there things that you think the pandemic kind of didn't just change, but maybe highlighted about work in Wisconsin and the way it's been changing over the last 20 years or so?
Yeah. One of the big themes that we've always focused on in the State of Working Wisconsin has been the structure, the impossibility of the structure of low-wage jobs. And when I say impossibility, I mean that the wages are low, the hours are often volatile and inadequate, the benefits are very weak. And those workers, especially in food service and bars and entertainment industry, those workers who had the weakest jobs coming in, who we'd always been spotlighting as sort of the most vulnerable workers in our economy, were the ones who were pummeled by job losses, and so unemployment for many, and then exposure at work if for those who kept their jobs. And so it really exposed and exacerbated what we saw about the underlying problems of the lowest wage work in the Wisconsin economy.
Another main topic area I know you've followed over the years, Laura, is racial disparities in the workforce when it comes to employment numbers, when it comes to hourly wages and that sort of thing. What's the latest in Wisconsin? What do we know about how the pandemic affected that?
So we can't quite see the complete impact of the pandemic, of course, because the pandemic's not over, partly. And partly we only have wage data through 2020. So it only shows the very front of the impact of the pandemic. We do see, I think, and it is a result of organizing, increased attention to workers' power and voice, even coming into the pandemic, there was, and some very sustained economic growth, all of those things taken together, was beginning to lift wages at the bottom of the labor market. And that tends to close some of the really stark gaps that this economy generates. So we still have very significant racial disparity between white earners and Black and brown earners in this economy. But what we saw is the bottom of the labor market was lifting up a little bit, and that was closing some of those gaps. And I think we may continue to see that.
Talking to Laura Dresser from the research group COWS, looking at the annual report on the state of working Wisconsin, looking at employment numbers and trends, wages and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're an employer or employee, love to hear from you about what changes you've seen in the long run when it comes to working in Wisconsin or in this year and a half of pandemic. Call in at 800-642-1234. Has your line of work changed over the last year and a half? Have you sought a new career? Have you become unemployed because you're in one of those job areas that was hard hit? If you're an employer, have you had to change the way you hire people? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Laura, I know an ongoing thing you've been looking at in this series of reports over the years is union membership in Wisconsin. Tell us, I think people probably know generally the numbers have gone down over the years. Can you spell it out for us?
Yeah. You know, the story of union density in the nation, like unions have lost their share of representation in the workforce, even back to up to 1 in 3 workers back in the late 60s, early 70s were represented by unions, falling down to below 10%. But what happened, so that's kind of a picture that most people know, but and that's the federal context and the reason federal labor law matters. But in the state of Wisconsin, between Act 10, which in 2011 really reframed and completely diminished the powers and possibilities for public sector unions. And then in 2015, we passed Right to Work in the state, which really makes the terms of private sector unionization more difficult. And so what you can see across that decline is that from 2011 to current, Wisconsin has gone from above average unionization, above national rates, to well below national rates. You can see that our losses are in line with only Iowa, which has also generated enormous union losses. Whereas, you know, Illinois and Indiana, not they've lost, but not the ground that we've lost. And across the border in across the Mississippi in Minnesota, I was surprised to see that actually their share of workers in unions represented by unions has gone up over this period. I think that speaks to another kind of divergence that we've seen between these states.
And Laura, a lot of people just by the numbers aren't members of unions right now. A lot of them have never been a member of a union, so they might hear that statistic and say, so what?
Yeah, I think it's really important to see the ways that unions make a difference for all workers, not just for members. You know, the first thing that people know is that unions make a difference for members. Union workers earn more because collective voices can bargain over the value generated and get more for the workers. But the second way that unions matter is that as they get density in a specific sector, their ability to bargain up wages actually spills into other non-union properties. And that means that they're lifting wages of members and non-members alike, right? So unions have the potential when they have strong representation to kind of have this positive spillover on non-union workers. And then the third way is that unions have been an important voice politically for things that matter for working people, whether that's raising the minimum wage or extending the Affordable Care Act to more and more people, or just preserving the Affordable Care Act, which has faced such attack from conservatives. I think you can see unions are a force in all those ways for working people. And so to lose them is one of the reasons that we see it relates to all the inequality we see in this country.
We're talking to Laura Dresser, Associate Director of COWS, about their newly released report, The State of Working Wisconsin 2021. She's an Assistant Clinical Professor of Social Work at UW-Madison. You can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. How has working Wisconsin changed for you? Have you lost a job over the last year and a half, say? Did you used to be in a unionized workplace? Now you're not. Do you want to see union numbers go up in the state, or are you okay with the trend of them going down? If you're an employer, what are you seeing as you try to hire people, or have you had to lay people off because the pandemic hit your workplace hard? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation now with Laura Dresser, Associate Director of COWS, a research center at UW-Madison, talking about their new report, The State of Working Wisconsin 2021. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is the state of working you in 2021? Has something big changed? Have there been small changes that you're happy to roll with, especially during the pandemic? Are you seeing opportunities for your wages to go up, whether in your current work or by changing it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to your calls now. Trish is with us in Madison. Trish, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Trish?
Well, I'm a pediatric RN, and I've had a time where I didn't work with a union and where I did work in a union. And the union, for me, actually made my work safer. At the time, we were required to float to different units, and I was floated to an ICU. And I had honestly no idea of what I was really doing. And it was very unsafe. And our union got that changed. So that was where I realized unions are super important. My brother-in-law, who works in HR, says, if you have good management, you don't need a union. And so doesn't that show you why we need unions? Because some of our managements don't support the people. The other comment related to COVID is that as a nurse, I just honestly felt we weren't protected enough with personal protective equipment. And I was within retirement. So I retired about 3 years earlier than I was planning on.
Trish, thanks a lot for sharing your work experiences there. Laura, what do you think, first of all, about Trish making the case that unions made the workplace conditions safer in that instance?
I mean, right. And I want you to notice that what she was talking about was safety for the patients. She wasn't even talking about the union protecting her in that instance. So we'll get to the PPE, but talking about how having a collective voice allows workers to see problems and to protect patients, right? And so often unions are making arguments, whether it's within education about public school funding and classroom size and things that are for issues beyond their own wages to make the work better. And I think that's a great example that that the caller brought up about how the union helped protect patients by helping workers say, you know, this isn't going to be safe for the people I'm working with. But also the point about union protection obviously this has been such an intense time for healthcare workers. And I'm so grateful for the caller and all the other people who are involved in healthcare. And the way that the pandemic just made that work so much more intense. There's some research that actually suggests that union workers were more protected because of the voice that worker had, deployment of personal protective equipment was better tended to be better in union hospitals and facilities. And there was less disease spread as a result. And I think that's another piece of evidence that just speaks to the caller's call.
Thanks for the call, Trish, at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Sue in Waukesha. Sue, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say also that not only do they protect the patients in the last caller's case, but unions also train their union employees, their unions themselves, and it's all paid through the benefit package that they get. So they're trained, they're safer, they're learning things that, and it's constant. It's a constant thing. Every year they have different training programs. New OSHA laws go into effect so that they have to make sure that their union employees are trained and kept up with that.
Sue, thanks a lot for the call. Laura, unions as providing workplace training, Sue says.
Yeah, it's important. It's a really important model, especially well established in the building trades where joint labor and management committees design and build the training, but also workers are really involved in the structure of and receiving training more in a lot of union shops and manufacturing and other places. Sometimes the there's training that happens in union and non-union shops alike, but there is a strong tradition of training that is related to and actually helps get to be better focused by the interests of workers and the identified needs that they can express through their unions. So that tends to matter a lot about making training work.
Thanks, Sue, for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Laura Dresser, Associate Director of the research group COWS, looking at their new report, The State of Working Wisconsin 2021. Laura, I've seen some people saying the balance of power recently may be shifting toward workers. A lot of talk about a labor shortage, employers having a hard time finding the workers that they want. Is that something, the data, I'm sure, is way too early to say definitively if that's happening, but are you seeing signs of that?
I mean, I think we can all see, when you go into your mailbox and you've got a couple of things randomly recruiting you for positions, or you see the sign in your neighborhood. I think it's clear, or, the bus drivers in Madison, school bus drivers, the call for school bus drivers, it's clear that in specific pockets, places where there were, workers had covered work, it's getting harder to find workers in some specific places. I think we know we're still kind of down in jobs, and so we want to keep an eye on that. I don't want to act like it's easy everywhere, that everybody or anybody can find a job at this point, or the job that really fits their needs. But I do think there's a lot of signs of some kind of power for workers, some ability for workers to really kind of demand better hours in some of these jobs that were often where workers were taking two or three to make a complete income or even to make an incomplete income. Now maybe they can turn that into one job. They can demand more from the wages and maybe also the benefits.
Should also ask about wage trends in Wisconsin. Another big part of the annual report you do at COWS. What have we seen when it comes to wages over time?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a 2-year lens and a 40-year lens. And this story, I mean, I think I'm going to start with the 40-year story because this seems an important story to me. Starting in 1979, wages were about $18 an hour for the median worker. We're up to just over $20 an hour now, if you adjust for inflation across that period. And that's, an increase of about, less than $3 an hour across a 40-year span. We know the economy is more productive. We know workers are more educated and more productive. And yet the payoff to that is just $3 an hour. And that's about inequality in our economy. And the way that returns to technology and labor returns in this economy have accrued to better off people. But then also one of the big good stories across that 40-year period is a decline, though the gender gap between women and men is still substantial. Women have come up across that period. Women's wages have come up and men's have fallen down a little bit. So just a tiny bit. And so there's a little bit more equity, a little bit less gap, I should say, between women and men's wages. But another thing that's opened up really significantly and distressingly over that 40-year period is Black men, Black women, Hispanic men, and Hispanic women really face substantial gaps. Even with the growth that a few of those groups have had and the declines that other groups have faced, there's just enormous racial and ethnic disparity in the state in wages.
Time for one more call. Russ is with us in Stoughton. Russ, hi.
Hi, I'm wondering if your guest is aware of the major breakthrough with the United Auto Workers at the Volvo plant in Virginia. They turned down two different recommended contracts by their union leaders and settled for a third one where new employees will be making the same wages as senior employees in 6 years. They had their health care benefits frozen for 6 years and stuff like that.
Russ, just a minute or so left. Laura, is that one you've been following? This is, I think, kind of breaking news over the last month or so.
Yeah, I haven't followed the Volvo. I really appreciate mentioning the UAW victory there. I have followed a little bit the Colectivo, the IBEW organized Colectivo workers in this state. And I think that, and, you know, different places across the state have been organized over the last year in spite of these very hard rules on organizing nationally and in the state. And so I do think the latest polling suggests that the support for unions is as high in this nation as it has ever been. 68 or more percent, you know, support unions say they would join them. And that I think we're starting to see some of the impact of that in events like the Volvo case that your worker just, I mean, that your caller just called about. I don't know that one very well, though.
Russ, thanks for the call. Laura, just in our last half a minute, what are you watching for next? A lot of uncertainties out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Delta isn't the last variant, right? It's just the best right now. And so I think the trajectory of the disease really matters a lot. But I think also this kind of question of what work really should be. If the 25-year story of the state of working Wisconsin is that the structure of low-wage jobs has been unsustainable, I sort of hope that the next chapter that we all write together is that these lower-wage jobs move much closer to our median wages, that they begin to deliver real benefits, or we deliver public benefits like health insurance through other means, and that we that workers really can afford to have life in these jobs rather than just scrambling to get by. That's the what I hope we get to see, and I guess we'll wait.
Laura, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
Laura Dresser is the Associate Director of COWS, a research center at UW-Madison, and a Clinical Assistant Professor of Social Work. You can find a link to the new COWS report called The State of Working Wisconsin 2021 at WPR.org/Central Time.